Justin eased less than a thimbleful of the ground powder onto the hearth of the forge before stoppering the flask and setting it on the iron plate on the workbench. Then he took a pine splinter from the shavings box and thrust it into the coals. A full arm's length, he thrust the flaming tip into the powder, closing his eyes and concentrating with his senses as the powder flared. After opening his eyes, Justin set the glowing splinter on the hearth, pursing his lips. Once again, he poured a minute amount of the powder onto the hearth and restoppered the flask. Again, he closed his eyes and concentrated. This time, the powder remained powder. He picked up the pine splinter and thrust it back into the coals until it again flamed. Then he carefully touched off the powder. His eyes closed and senses extended. The brimstone-infused smoke residue curled up from the plate. He then poured a fingertip of powder on the iron once more. He concentrated, trying to replicate the patterns. Nothing happened. He recovered the splinter and lit it, then thrust the flame into the tiny pile of powder, trying to hold in his mind the combinations of joinings that led to the chaos of destruction. The order patterns failed again. Justin frowned. The patterns existed. He just had to create the proper ones. What did a fire need? Something to burn and air. A fully damped fire or stove or hearth didn't work well. Was there a link to the air? Or did he need to create one? He reached for the powder once more and concentrated. His eyes burned and his legs ached when the brightness burned through his closed eyelids and the smithy seemed to lurch under him for just an instant. Dumbly, he looked at the iron. Not a trace of powder remained, nor was there any smoke. He poured out another dribble of powder and tried to replicate the patterns. The brightness burned at him, and the smithy lurched around him, even though his feet remained planted on the ground. Justin shook his head. Did he really want to use the patterns? His brain seemed to almost whirl inside his skull. He brushed off the iron and turned toward the door. The stars shone coldly as Justin stepped into the early autumn evening. The acrid smoke, not of powder, but of a distant fire, burned in his nostrils, carried northward along the river, foreshadowing the white advance. His tunic ruffled in the cool breeze, and he turned to the door, which he closed gently.
Justin? What in the demon's hell were you doing?
Gunnar stood in the darkness not 10 steps away.
The impossible?
Gunnar looked toward the empty powder flask in Justin's hand.
I should have guessed. Do you know what that felt like?
Felt like?
That's what woke me. It felt like you twisted order into chaos.
Not exactly. You build 2 small order patterns, and when you link them, well, they create their own chaos.
Order creating chaos? That's impossible.
It doesn't quite work that way. It's more like there's too much order for the structure, and because it can't be held together, the expansion creates chaos. Sort of like when you heat water to steam.
Gunnar nodded in the darkness.
Trust an engineer.
You don't sound pleased.
I'm not sure that I am. I think there's far more to what you've done than you realize.
The older brother brushed his hair off his forehead and stood silent in the darkness. Justin waited.
You've linked building and destroying, order and chaos. There have never been any gray wizards because no one has figured out how to bridge order and chaos. You've managed to turn order into chaos. But gray magic has to work both ways. Can you turn chaos into order?
I don't think I'd even want to try, not even to preserve the legend.
They both looked to the east, uphill at the dark walls. Only a scattering of torches or candles wavering through windows lit the city.
Good. It might not be enough even so. Now, can you let me get some sleep without any more twisting order out of its fabric?
It wasn't like that.
It felt like that.
All right, I'll see you in the morning.